everybody. Welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian, Nisha, and William coming to you live every day. We are the number one internet radio show talking about human resources. So, well, while we are waiting for Mr. Fisher, Nisha, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Brian. It's Friday. So I'm totally excited to go out and have some fun Friday.
Well, it is. I think that sounds like a absolutely wonderful idea. So for everybody should just leave early and go get it done. So we'll see if Craig's going to join us here. So, Craig, are you on with us?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, perfect. Great. We are live, so let's jump right into it. If you would introduce yourself, and then we'll kind of roll into what's top of mind with you.
Hi, so I am Craig Fisher. I am the CEO and founder of a company called TalentNet. We host the TalentNet Live and now Global True events as well. And I do brand amplification and customer strategy for some permanent TalentNet sponsors like Fisher Vista and HR Marketer, Operate, and Ajax Workforce Marketing. And I am just basically a recruitment industry raconteur with almost 20 years in the talent space. And I'm really glad to be here.
Perfect. So let's literally jump into it both feet. So what's currently keeping you up at night in the HR space?
Well, all kinds of fun things. I've been doing a lot of really cool recruitment strategy for teams in industries that range all over the place, doing recruitment team training and recruitment process for lots of big major brands and companies, and really collating a catalog of the things that are actual real-world issues for these teams today. And we're putting that together for all the really cool TalentNet events that are coming up, as well as True events, to give our audiences something that is really actionable and strategic to take home and start working on the following week. So it's been really fun not only gathering all the intel that we get from hosting all these events. There will be 80 more of these in the next 12 months between TalentNet and True all over the world. So we're gathering intel from recruitment teams and HR groups worldwide in regions everywhere, as well as being on-site, inside customers' recruitment processes and teams and helping them really make their systems and recruitment processes hum more efficient, more vibrant, and more actionable. So my thoughts at night are all about what's really happening on the ground inside companies and how are we addressing those problems.
So what's the one thing, just maybe short term, that you've heard from a lot of the folks that you actually work with, your clients out there? What's maybe something that has been maybe a consistent theme or is popping up more than the majority of us would hear?
So what I've been hearing, which is kind of interesting to me, is the need for more original and effective passive candidate messaging. So sourcing is always an issue, but it turns out that finding people isn't really a problem. You can find plenty of people. You can get lots of people to apply. Finding the right candidates, which in many cases might be passive, and getting a message to them that they will actually respond to and quickly and, you know, sort of sets you apart from your competitors, that's a different issue. And that's something that lots of companies are focusing on right now.
Well, I mean, you know, obviously what's interesting, and I would love to get kind of your kind of how you present this. When you start talking about brand, what is your definition of brand? Because that's one of those big, you know, that's one of those big words like culture. You know, people tend to kind of bend and wrap and throw a lot of things on what that potentially is, per se. So I just, what's from the person that's out there, you know, obviously doing it every day, how do you define brand?
Well, so what's interesting is we're starting to see a blend of consumer brand and employer brand. And the brand message that most marketing teams give has to do with product or service. And then the brand message that most employment teams give has to do with sort of what sets them apart as a company. And the thing that's really not unique is the standard things that most people say. So I get to work at the LinkedIn Talent Connect conference every year with Ajax, and we run the profile optimization station. And we have LinkedIn Talent Connect attendees come in that are VP and executive level at companies like Microsoft and Hootsuite and LinkedIn. And when we ask them as part of the process, what is it that makes your company really great and interesting to work for, et cetera? And they say things like, well, it's our awesome work-life balance, or it's our really cool startup culture, or we're a great established company with a really cool startup culture, or, you know, we work hard, play hard. But there's really only about 7 different things that companies say. There's not that much difference. So basically your competitors are all saying about the same thing. So you might have some product differentiation, but when it comes to being a cool company to work for, there's not a ton that separates you except for your people. So the real separation is your culture. The people inside your company is the only thing that your competitors don't currently have. So now what companies are starting to do to set themselves apart for both consumer brand and employer brand is talk more about their people, highlight their culture, highlight the actual folks inside their companies, and start to give them a voice to talk about work better online.
Cool, that's interesting, Craig. This is Nisha, and I totally agree with you. Like, people inside your company and how they represent to your potential employees and potential customers will make you stand out from the crowd. And I really want to tie those two elements that you have already spoken at this moment about the challenges of sourcing and employer brand. So what are some skills that make one a true and successful sourcer by representing their employer brand?
So I'll tell you what some of the skills are that most sourcers and recruiters sort of take for granted. And that's things like day planning, time blocking, client management, the basics that we don't really talk very much about anymore in the recruitment space, because our conversations revolve around all these really great online tools that we use to find people and connect with people. But really what happens is we become less efficient. We get these great tools and we have more people apply, and that really widens our recruitment funnel versus narrows it. And what we really would prefer is a more efficient recruitment funnel. So if we can plan our days around sharing the right content with our social networks and only being on these social places at tiny regular increments, but being consistent, we can actually improve our efficiency there. And if we're doing a good job of talking about our culture and our coworkers and what's a good day in the life and sharing good content like interesting resources that our audience can share with their networks versus just spamming job postings all day, well, then we can actually get people to opt into our companies better versus just getting everyone to apply. Because we don't really want that. We really want the right people applying. So targeting your social media activity, sharing more good content versus just, it's not just about sourcing. It's not just about finding people. It's about what happens when they come back to see you after you've reached out to them or after your recruiter has reached out to them and they come back to look at your company. Do you look like a person they want to work with, and have you shared content that makes you look like a valuable resource versus someone that's just spamming jobs all day?
That's great. And now we talked about the social media marketing or social media profiles that companies have. So do you have any suggestions to those employers who are going to use their social media profile and how to integrate that to their company career website?
Yeah, so absolutely. If you're going to use your social media profiles, which I firmly believe you should be doing it in concert with your employees and give them an opportunity to talk about work better. Don't require them to do it, but let them know that if they want to talk about work better, that their social media profiles are also important, and you're going to give them the tools to share content and interesting things about the company and their coworkers and cultures and clients and things like that online if they want to participate in your marketing plan. So what we want, really, a company can only have a network that's so big, but it has one thing that's really valuable beyond that, which is many employees who also have networks. So tapping into their networks and those people's networks is the real key to getting the most out of your social media.
Perfect. Craig, let me do a quick reset. Everybody listen to Drive-Thru HR. We're on with Brian and Nisha. We're on with Craig Fisher. And so Craig, you know, just appreciate, I mean, everything you've shared, I think, is, you know, are things that are getting talked about more and more as far as being purposeful and having more intent about how you position. It's kind of what the best marketers have been saying forever, classically, is be smarter about how you position. Don't just wide net everything. So where do people start? What are a couple of things that people can get actually convey to, like, their leadership teams about, from a talent acquisition perspective, about starting a sourcing program or a talent acquisition program that actually is more cohesive and makes sense with their brand, their culture, and their overall alignment with the company goals? Because I think that's an overwhelming, like, where do I start, especially incorporating the social tools into a talent acquisition strategy or a recruitment strategy?
Well, so we know for a fact, right, that the majority of our best hires come from referrals. That's documented proof, evidence. We know this. It's not even in question, right? So how do you get more referrals? Sourcing is great, but if you have to start a new sourcing effort every time you have a new job, well, that takes longer and costs more money, and you end up with people that are not referrals, who don't have the same incumbent responsibility to do a good job. So we want more referrals and less sourcing if possible. Sourcing is still important and always will be. But when you show an executive how getting most of the people in your company sort of online with what the company brand message should be, what we're sharing about our work and our culture and our people and what it's like to work here, when you get them all doing that sort of together online, the search engine optimization alone is worth a tiny little investment or piece of your time to just say, hey, everybody, we know you're online already. We know you're a rock star, and we're not telling you not to do Facebook and not to do Twitter and not to do all these other things that you're doing, even LinkedIn. In fact, we want you to do it better, and we'll give you the tools to help you do that if you want to. And when everybody in the company has certain keywords in their online profiles and messages and talks about the company with the company name and some brand messages a little bit here and there, because you've given them the ideas of how they should do this and why it will help them, well, all of a sudden, your company starts coming up higher in search results for those keywords. So, for instance, if you want to say to your employees, hey, guys, we want to hire more awesome people like you, so we want your networks to know more about what a great place this is to work and share our awesome culture with the world. And in fact, we want to try to rank high for Java developers in Dallas. And in fact, if you all put something in your profiles about we're currently hiring Java developers in Dallas, well, guess what? The whole company will start to come up higher in search results both on LinkedIn and Google for Java developers in Dallas. It's a real simple concept that makes light bulbs go off in executives' heads, and they see the value immediately. But it also engages your employees. Wow, what a novel concept. We want you to be part of our plan because we think you're awesome, and we're giving you permission and tools to be online and talk about work better. Huh. All of a sudden, everybody feels more engaged.
Well, and that's... And those are, and I like that, because those at the end of the day are not, they're not complex, and they don't take they don't take resources. Nobody's got to write a check on that. It's more time and thought process that needs to be communicated than anything. And so that just, I think that just ups the game a little bit. Where, hey, I don't need you, leadership, stakeholder groups, to write a check. We just need to kind of organize kind of our process, and here's the why, potentially. So, good suggestion. So what? We'll kind of get to this, the big question, bigger question early, is what's a concept that you are just tired of hearing about, Craig? What just kind of gets to your core every time it comes up?
Well, so there's a couple that I think we have some kind of myths about in the marketplace. One of them is that concept of passive candidates. Okay, so we want passive candidates. All right, we got to get messages to passive candidates that make them turn active. But what about the person who yesterday was passive and then went to the break room to find that someone had stolen his Cheez-Its off the top shelf that had his name written on it, and somebody had taken them and eaten the rest of his Cheez-Its. And today, he's just thinking about, maybe I need to work somewhere else because this is driving me nuts. It's going to be a political nightmare if I mention it, and gosh, man, I love this place, but people keep stealing my Cheez-Its. Does that make him a worse candidate than he was yesterday if today he's slightly active? I really don't think so. So our idea that only passive candidates are good candidates, I think, is slightly skewed. And let's think about this. Does a passive candidate take longer or shorter to hire? And does that cost more or less money? Okay, so I think that some active candidates are excellent candidates. The other thing is candidate communities. What is really a candidate community? If you're not actively engaging these people with good content on a regular basis and keeping them warm and creating fans, if you're just adding people to a list, that's not a candidate community. That's just a list, which is what we've been doing forever. That's our job. We are list builders. So really, the candidate community theory has to have some action behind it.
Well, and obviously, that is a really good point. And you bring up some big ones. I mean, talent community. I mean, that is a very classic. That comes up probably, I would say, ranks probably top two or three of the ones that just, you know, tends to make people's skin crawl a little bit when they hear it. Because it's such a, there's so much ambiguity in the actual concept and even the term. So, what do you think? What's one thing that people should just stop doing right now, today, when it comes to recruiting? Just knock it off. Do not ever do it again. Don't speak of it. Just quit the activity.
Don't only post jobs over and over all the time and nothing else in your feeds. Job spamming is the worst possible thing you can do if you're a recruiter. If you're trying to connect with me and I look at your LinkedIn profile and all you've done is post job after job after job and never post a status update or an interesting piece of content, I don't want to connect with you because I think you're just going to mess up my feed. So if you think about it, the only reason you're going to be of value and different than your competitors is if you actually post something that I can share with my network and you give to get, not just ask all the time, but provide some value other than that. So when you do ask, then I'm more interested in helping you out, giving you a referral, looking at that job. I think that's the biggest sin that most recruiters are guilty of. And I want to answer Animal real quick, who posted online, force your staff to advertise your jobs in their online profiles. I'm not saying force your staff. I'm saying tell them that you like them and you want them to help if they want to, and it's an opt-in, and give them the tools to do it if they choose to. Never force anybody to do anything.
Good point of clarification. Appreciate you paying attention to the to elements of the stream, so to speak. Let's kind of switch gears here to some new technology. What's a new piece of, you know, you're always good for that. So what's a new piece of technology out there that people need to take a look at?
Well, there's a couple of interesting ones that I like right now. If you haven't looked at it yet, check out Recruitem, RECRUITEM, and that's a tool that will create some pretty good search strings for you for Google+, and GitHub, and LinkedIn. Also, Ebsta is a pretty cool tool that I recommend checking out.
Interesting. Well, Greg, you are a total evangelist for cool tools, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, especially I have attended TalentNet Live last year, and it was actually an eye-opening for me to get to know a lot of cool tools that I can utilize for my recruitment and for networking aspect especially. So, what are some latest tools that recruiters should be utilizing?
Yeah, so Recruitem and Ebsta are my two current favorites, but there are plenty of others that will help you sort of make your day more efficient. If you're not using Buffer and Hootsuite and Twitter Feed and other things to help automate some content into your feed, then I think you're sort of spending too much time on social media or just posting jobs. And again, I'm going to disagree with Animal about recruiters should only post jobs. I totally disagree with that. And he's really contradicting what he does, because he doesn't just post jobs. In fact, he never posts jobs. And he is a recruiter. So I think that posting a good mix of content and having some tools to help you automate that process or set a good time of day when most of your audience is online is very important. And to have jobs in your mix as maybe 20% of the content that you post. Also share a little bit about yourself, not what you had for lunch. Don't give me Instagram pictures of your lunch. But be human. Let me know a little bit about your life and let me, as a candidate, see that you're a real person, not just a robot. Even if you're automating some content that also adds interesting news stories to your feed, if you mix in some personal stories, some photographs, things like that, then you can automate some content, be a real person, and post some jobs, and you'll get a lot better response.
Well, I'm just over here laughing at the Twitter conversation is extra amusing today. So it is all good there. Yeah. So keeps things lively in the community.
Well, Animal's asking the questions that he would ask on his show right now, which is awesome.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. He's never, you know what? He's never invited me to be on his show, and I just that I don't understand it. But I'm not feeling the love. He's been on our show. He's been on our show maybe twice, I think. So.
Well, here it is, the official call out for Brian Wimpin to be on the Animal Show.
that would be a lot of entertainment for everybody. So.
Well, I've been there a few times, and it is not only fun, it's informative, and he's a great host. He keeps the content entertaining and the speakers on their toes. It's very good.
Yeah, for sure. So what's the switching gears here a little bit? So what is the your very next event that you have coming up that you want to talk about?
Yeah, so we've got a couple of true events coming up in San Francisco and Mountain View. You can see all of those events at globaltrue.com. Then we've got the first ever TalentNet London back-to-back with True London, September 5th and 6th, I think it is. Those are also on globaltrue.com. And then in Dallas, we've got our annual big TalentNet Live conference this year at Pizza Hut for the first time ever. We were kind of outgrowing our other space, and so Pizza Hut has generously offered to host this. And we'll have over 200 people at this conference on September 13th. And details for that are dallas.talentnetlive.com. And I'm proud to announce that we will be having both Brian Wimpin and Nisha and William all there to run a track for us. Yeah, it's going to be great.
Can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a great, fantastic venue. That's always a really good event. You know, the Dallas community and the group of speakers you bring in are tend to really mix very well. Good social event afterwards. There's just going to be a lot of talent stacked up there. Too bad I can't do the Mountain View one. That's back in my old hood. So that would be a fun one. You got a lot of good stuff coming up. So.
Oh, indeed, yeah.
So what's the probably the last? We've only got about a minute and a half left here. So what's the last suggestion you can give to people that have been on social media, use the tools on a regular basis? Maybe even to the point that they're scaling back a little bit of the saturation because they've kind of figured out what they like. What's maybe one piece of advice that you could give them that's going to make their life a little bit better?
Yeah, so one little fun trick that I like to do is when I have a new opening, doesn't matter, you know, what market or what kind of job it is, if I have something to announce, I will actually change my job title on LinkedIn and my current job to my next event is XYZ or I'm currently hiring XYZ in ABC market at my company. So when you do this, your entire network gets an update of your new job title, which basically is a job advertisement and announces what you're doing, and it's free. So they get that in an email. You go on that little update page with the flag on LinkedIn, and you actually get responses quickly saying, hey, congrats on your new position, which means you know that LinkedIn is pushing that out. And so it's basically a free job advertisement. It's a sneaky sneak trick, but actually LinkedIn likes it so much they posted a blog about it on the talent blog on LinkedIn, and they think it's a good idea.
Excellent. Well, that's a good that's some good LinkedIn love there. I appreciate that. Well, Craig, always a pleasure.
Yes, thanks, Brian and Nisha.
Hey, Nisha, great job. And folks, we're out of here. Have a freaking great weekend.